You're listening to a sermon from Pastor Kevin Wellborn of Highland Baptist Church in Clovis, New Mexico. Now, here's Pastor Kevin.
This morning, if you have your Bibles, go to the book of Acts, chapter 4, is where we'll begin. We're going to stay in the book of Acts, but we're going to bounce around a little bit. All right, now, would you agree with the statement that all of us have people in our life, regardless of how old we are today or what our experience level is or something, we all have people in our lives that we imitate or emulate, whether we consciously do it or not. There's somebody, we'll catch ourselves saying something that was, oh, wow, that sounded like so-and-so there. I used to never say that phrase. And I know when I was in high school that my favorite ball player for the Texas Rangers was Rusty Greer. And Rusty Greer was not a superstar, but was a solid ball player, and he was my favorite. And I would change my batting stance a little bit to be more like Rusty Greer, okay, without the results. Same stance, different results. Philippians chapter 3, verse 17 says that we are to imitate or emulate the people that are faithful. The people that we have seen in our lives that demonstrate great faith in God. And so one of the things that you probably have done, whether intentionally or unintentionally, or consciously or subconsciously, I nearly said unconsciously, subconsciously, when you read the Bible, you'll see a story, maybe David and Goliath. And you'll say, you know what, David had great faith that he could slay the giant. I want to be like David. And there's nothing wrong with that, but I dare say to you today that you will never be called by God to get a slingshot and kill the Goliath of Gath. Goliath's been dead for 3,000 years. All right, if he comes back and walks the earth again, we have all kinds of problems. Or maybe you feel like you want to be Joshua and lead the Hebrews into the Promised Land, cross the Jordan River, and eliminate the heathens and the pagans that lived in the Promised Land. Well, that's already been done. Now, you can imitate or emulate their faith, but the actions that they perform that God called them to do are very different than the actions that you're going to be called to do. You're your own person. Okay? Maybe say, well, all right, Kevin, let's go New Testament. I want to be John the Baptist. If you know the whole story of John the Baptist, you might want to change your ideas on who you want to imitate. But you say, I want to prepare the way of the Lord. Well, the Lord is already here, okay? Jesus already came bodily to the earth. So this morning, I want to give you an example of a guy that maybe you could imitate even today. Again, not every little thing that he did because you're a different individual. But we're going to talk about Barnabas this morning, okay? Now, I believe the Sunday school material mentioned Barnabas some this morning. That's good, okay? It was not intentional that I picked Barnabas today and that Sunday school did too. Maybe that God was in control of that. Maybe it was a Holy Spirit thing as we welcomed the Holy Spirit in the last song that we sang. But this morning, I want to encourage you to be a Barnabas, okay? Let's go to the book of Acts, chapter 4. We'll begin reading in verse 32. Excuse me, Acts chapter 4, verse 32. Now the full number of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one said that of any of the things that belonged to him was his own, but they had everything in common. And with great power the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as were owners of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold and laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need. Thus Joseph, who is also called by the apostles Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, a Levite, a native of Cyprus, sold a field that belonged to him and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. So the first thing we can do this morning in emulating or imitating Barnabas is to have a giving heart. We see here that Barnabas sells the field and gives the entire proceeds to the church. Okay? Now, if you keep reading in Acts chapter 5, literally the next verse, Acts chapter 5, verse 1, we read the account of Ananias and Sapphira. Now, they sold property and weren't exactly 100% honest with the leaders of the church. And around verse 10 or 11 or so, they had both already lost their life. Okay? Now, am I saying that if you sell a house and you don't give all the proceeds to the church that your life is forfeit? I don't think that's what the Bible's teaching there. I think it's more talking about their lying and being dishonest and things of that nature. Okay? But Barnabas sold a field and gave it. There's an old book, and I don't remember who wrote it, and it's a real small book, so if you find it, it won't take much for you to read it. But it's called Givers, Takers, and Other Kinds of Lovers. Do you know in our life we can either choose to be a giver or a taker? Okay? Some people have a propensity or a proclivity to be a giver much more than a taker. For some of us, it's a little more natural to be on the taking side of it. But what is a Christian discipline? What, when Jesus has changed your life, are you going to be more of a giver or a taker? You're going to be a giver, aren't you? Not just money, and all other things too. Now, obviously, money is part of that discipline, but it's other things too. You give. You know what the most valuable thing you have is? It's probably time. Okay. If you'll give your time to somebody, you're communicating to that person that you love them. Okay. You can even give somebody money and not really care anything about them. Just take this and be gone. But if you spend time with somebody, you communicate that you love them. Hey, when I was growing up, just all those years, my father would come by randomly and pick me up, and we'd just get a Coke at Randy's Burgers there in town and just drive around. We didn't accomplish anything. We didn't have a goal when we got in the truck to drive around. But what was he doing? He was showing me that I was worth his time. Okay, he showed me that he loved me. And now when I go home, and actually over Christmas, my brother was home as well, and I'm 35 and my brother is 51 years old. We still got in the truck and went to Randy's and got a Coke and drove around. Again, we had no goal in mind. We didn't have anything we had set out to accomplish. But that's one of my dad's ways of giving and showing that, hey, I want to spend time with you because I love you. You know, my entire life, one of the greatest blessings that I've had, that I've never had to question if my parents loved me. Not once have I had to question that. I've never had to question if they were proud of me. You know why? They told me. Okay? And I don't take that for granted. Okay? I am thankful for the parents that I have. Okay? They are not and were not perfect, but they're outstanding parents to me. Okay? They've been very good to me. But the first thing we see with Barnabas is to be a giving person. Okay? When you take, it's not really a Christian discipline. It's not really emulating the Lord himself. Can you point to a scripture in the New Testament, in the Gospels, where Jesus was selfish? I don't think you'll find that in there at all. Now, Jesus needed some alone time. He got away from the crowd some and all of that, and that was okay, but he wasn't being selfish. Have to be a Barnabas, to emulate his faith, you have to have a giving heart. Skip ahead to chapter 9. This is a good one right here. Chapter 9, verse 26. Being Barnabas, this one, the second one is give affirmation. Acts chapter 9, verse 26. And when he had come to Jerusalem, this is talking about Paul, or still called Saul here. When he had come to Jerusalem, he attempted to join the disciples, and they were all afraid of him, for they did not believe that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared to them how on the road he had seen the Lord who spoke to him, and how at Damascus he had preached boldly in the name of Jesus. So we have a new convert here in Acts chapter 9, and it's Saul of Tarsus, who was very well known in the Christian community, but not in a positive sense. Saul of Tarsus was known in the Christian community as a persecutor of the church. In Acts chapter 7, the account of Stephen, the first Christian martyr that we have recorded in the Bible says that Saul was the guy that held the coats of those who killed Stephen. And now in Acts chapter 9, of course, we know on the road to Damascus, Saul had an encounter with the Lord. Saul's become a believer. But the people in Jerusalem, the church of Jerusalem, they didn't believe it. Saul wanted to join up with them. What if, who was it years ago, 20 years ago now almost, Madeleine Murray O'Hare, the renowned atheist, who was just, I don't know if she ever hurt anybody physically, but was just pretty mean-spirited lady. What if she was still around today and she wanted to come in and join Highland? She said, I want to join this congregation. I want to join this fellowship of believers. How many of us would have reservations in our heart? Probably all of us, if we were honest, would at least have some reservation. Okay? Saul came into this congregation, or he wanted to join the congregation at First Baptist Jerusalem. How do I know it was Baptist? They didn't have any other kind of church back then. Okay, but they came in. I'm really kidding on that one, okay? But they came in, and they say, hey, Saul, he's killing us. What sneakier way could there be for him to find out who all the believers in Jerusalem are than for him to come to church a few times? So the church was like, well, you can't come in here. But then old Barnabas comes alongside, and I said give affirmation. Another word we could use here is be an advocate. Barnabas comes in and tells him, I saw this guy preaching boldly the name of Jesus at Damascus. I saw him. How many of us are waiting for our unbelieving friends and coworkers to just come to Jesus on their own volition? Now, the Lord can do anything. All right, I know a man that was saved on top of a windmill in the middle of nowhere. Nobody was around him. I believe his testimony 100 times over. But the people that are in our lives, whether they be non-believers or maybe they have distanced themselves from God and the church, they need affirmation. They also need an advocate. They need somebody to say, you know what? I'll go with you. Okay? One of the old tricks, which is a pretty good trick, it's not really a trick, but one of the strategies is don't just invite somebody to church. Offer to go pick them up and then take them to eat afterwards. Okay? Do you know why most people don't exercise and all that won't darken the door of a gym? It's because they feel very intimidated when they go in there. Because they walk in there by themselves. Now, if they go in there with a friend, they're much more likely to go. It's the same thing with church. Who in your life can you come alongside and walk into the building with them? That makes a huge difference. For somebody that doesn't know Highland or doesn't know X, Y, and Z church, some of us can look pretty scary to them. Okay? Some of us can be intimidating to them. Come with them. I was going to save this for later, but do you know what Barnabas, it's translated in the English as son of encouragement. Do you know what it literally means? One who comes alongside. Walks alongside. Very similar to the Holy Spirit himself. Paul, Saul of Tarsus, same guy, is wanting to join up, and nobody wants him to come in to the church there at Jerusalem. It took Barnabas and his word to say, I've seen this guy change. This man had an encounter with God, and he's different. You should have heard him in Damascus preaching the name of Jesus. Okay? Very oftentimes, we're guilty of judging a book by its cover, aren't we, when it comes to a human being? You know what I've learned? The more time I spend with just about everybody, the more I realize I have in common with that person. I know I've told you fairly recently that a few times in my life, and I want to tell you something, if you've ever been involved in any kind of ministry, you get stuck in some strange situations sometimes. But I've been in some situations where I've been in a vehicle with somebody for a matter of hours that I wasn't looking forward to being in the vehicle with them for a matter of hours. But every single time, I've come out of that experience saying, you know what? He and I are much more similar than I ever would have thought. If somebody comes in and they're a brand new believer in Jesus and we are condescending to them or we stick our nose up at them, again, are we acting much like the Lord Jesus himself? No. Sometimes we need a very real reminder of where we came from. Okay? Yeah, that's where were you? Did Jesus only need to sort of die for you, but he really had to die for this other person? Or did Jesus need to die for all of us and shed his blood for every single one of us, just the same amount? Okay? I had a man not too long ago, had something very negative to say about somebody else, a much younger man. And so, led by the Holy Spirit, because this is not my typical reaction, I said, okay, where were you when you were 20 years old? And he had nothing to say at that point. Sometimes, those of us that know the Lord, have known the Lord for years, we need to be an advocate for those that are still new in the faith. We need to grow them, okay? We need to give them somebody to emulate, okay? Like Philippians chapter 3 says, imitate those who are faithful. We need to be that person for somebody, okay? You may not feel qualified, but you know what? Hopefully you've grown enough in your faith that you can help them take the next few steps in their walk with the Lord Jesus, okay? So we need to have a giving heart. We need to give affirmation or be an advocate for others. Go to Acts chapter 11. Y'all remember the story of Jonah? When Jonah was upset when the people of Nineveh repented. You know, if one of the craziest stories in all the Bible, but I believe it's 100% true, Jonah's upset that God didn't destroy the people of Nineveh because they repented and turned their lives around. The same thing was happening in the New Testament. In Acts chapter 11 and verse 19, the Bible says this. Now those who were scattered because of the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, speaking the word to no one except Jews. But there were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who on coming to Antioch spoke to the Hellenists also, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number who believed turned to the Lord. The report of this came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. Verse 23, when he came and saw the grace of God, he was glad, and he exhorted them all to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose. So, long story short right here, there were those that were coming to know Jesus that were not Jews. We call them Gentiles, or sometimes the New Testament calls them Greeks, whatever you want to call them. Here, they're mentioned as Hellenist. Okay? That is a fantastic news for us. Jesus died on the cross for Gentiles. Okay? I don't know all of your backgrounds, but I would imagine most of us, by the biblical definition, are not Jewish people. We're not Hebrews of our DNA. We're not literally from the DNA of Abraham. Jesus will save Gentiles. Did you know in Acts chapter 11, the Bible says, we just read it, that some people would only preach the name of Jesus to those that were Jewish? And they were getting upset when Gentiles were coming to the faith. But we see that when the men of Cyprus and Cyrene were preaching the name of Jesus to the Gentiles, they called on who to come in? They called on Barnabas. And Barnabas' reaction to the people coming to know the Lord was he decided, instead to be upset and angry, he decided to rejoice. Can you imagine a scenario in your life where you would be upset if somebody came to know Jesus as their Savior? I hope not. I hope not. You know, I have talked to enough people that there are those not, and I can honestly say this, not here in Clovis, New Mexico, so relax just a little bit. But I've known people in my life that were so bigoted and racist towards a group of people that they didn't care whether they went to hell or not. And these people named the name of Jesus. That is a sickening thing. That is a gross, disgusting mindset. And it's not my job to judge anybody's salvation, but I want to tell you, when I heard one statement, I judged that guy's salvation just in my flesh, okay? I'll be honest. One of the first questions that I asked the pastor search committee here over 2 years ago now was, I said, what about race? Who's welcome in the Highland Baptist Church? And you know what was funny? They laughed. They laughed. And you know why? Because everybody really is welcome here. And that's awesome. Because Jesus died for everybody. Okay? Every color, doesn't matter where you came from, doesn't matter your economic background, everybody is welcome. But these early Christians in Acts chapter 11 said, what are we going to do if those people start accepting Christ and want to come to our church? Remember Solomon in the book of Ecclesiastes? Remember what he said? Nothing new under the sun. Okay, there's nothing new here living this life. People have always been hateful. That's just the nature of the beast. Even these Christians here in Antioch and Jerusalem and all these other places were hateful and did not want non-Jews coming to know Jesus Christ. But then these guys, again, from Cyprus and Cyrene, they were preaching to the Gentiles, and then they call alongside Barnabas. So we see Barnabas with a giving heart. He gives affirmation, and then also he gives motivation. He was encouraging them to continue preaching to everybody. Jesus died for everyone. You know what the Bible says when it says Jesus died for the entire world? You know who's included in that? That's everybody. Greek lesson. All means all. Okay, there's nobody nobody's ever lived that Jesus did not give his life for. Yeah, I don't believe in limited atonement one bit. Okay? People can disagree with me, and that's fine. We can still be good friends. Okay? Jesus died for everyone. Who are we to say at Highland Baptist Church that so-and-so is not welcome? Well, you don't know what their background is. Oh, really? You don't know what their future is. There have been a long line of people that have done amazing things in their faith in the Lord and their whole life, and you have no idea what background they came from. You don't know what God has planned for them. Moses should have been dead. He was a little baby floating in the reeds in the river. And we all know about Moses today. Okay, what about Jesus himself? Did Jesus have a superb formal education? Did he come from the nice side of town, the rich side of Bethlehem? Was he from the right side of the tracks in Bethlehem? Or did Jesus come in humility? So even the Lord, and then the New Testament even says about the apostles, he said, hey, I didn't call the best and brightest among you. All right, this is my paraphrase here. He says, I call just the normal guys to carry the gospel around the world. So let's not be too quick to cast judgment on somebody and say, well, God can never use them. If God can use you, he can use them. Okay? So Barnabas gave motivation. He said, yes, teach these people. Yes, preach to these people. They need the Lord as much as anybody. Preach to them. I want to encourage you this morning to be like Barnabas and motivate. Think about yourself. You don't have to say this out loud, but what kind of motivation do you respond to? Do you respond to somebody tearing you down all the time, or do you respond to somebody that's building you up? They may point out some things where you can improve, but if they're building you up, if they're positive, I'm way more apt to grow and listen to that motivation. I'll never, ever forget it. Coach Hill, my freshman year in high school, we were watching film. I hated watching film the day after a game because rarely did I do anything that pleased the coaches, apparently, the night before. But one day, we were watching the film from the previous night's game, and Coach Hill said something, Coach Denton said something to the effect. See, I remember the names and who said what. Coach Denton said something to the effect, hey, nice block there, Kevin. And then Coach Hill said, he really played a great game last night. Where did that come from? Such positivity, okay? You know what? In the rest of that season, to be honest, I think Coach Hill went to a different school after that season, but the rest of that season, if Coach Hill had asked me to do something, I would have run through a brick wall to get it done. Why? Because of one comment he made that was a positive motivation. You know what we ought to do? Here's some homework, okay? If you see somebody doing a good job on something, tell them. Let them know that they're doing a good job on something. Be positive. It's so easy to be negative. Be positive influence. Okay, I read an article this week and it mentioned how do people react when they see your name come up on their phone when you call them. Do they dread answering the phone, or are they happy that they see your name on their caller ID? Be the person that they're excited to talk to. Okay? Be a positive influence. Be a positive person. Motivate them in that manner. Way more people respond to that than the negative side of things. Okay? Barnabas was a motivator. He gave motivation. Now let's keep reading. Same passage. Acts 11, verse 24. This is a good one right here. We'll pause after just reading one verse right here. For he was a good man, talking about Barnabas, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and a great many people were added to the Lord. One of my desires in life is to be a good man. And we know from what the Bible says that Barnabas was a good man, but what made him a good man? Did you catch that that phrase there? He was a good man because he was full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. That's what makes somebody a good man. Verse 25. So Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. For a whole year they met with the church and taught a great many people. And in Antioch, the disciples were first called Christians. The last one is this. We have a giving heart, give affirmation, give motivation. And then lastly, and maybe the most important one this morning, give your presence. Be there. A few weeks ago at CR, Sippy showed a video of being in it's called the mourning booth, I think. Be in the booth with somebody when they're struggling. Not mourning like in the AM, but mourning as in the loss of something. I know I've told you the story more than once. I don't have that many stories. But our good friends, a young lady who was in our youth group, had a four-month-old baby who died of SIDS. Karen and I were on our way to eat our anniversary dinner. This was, Bonnie was around, but Hannah wasn't born at this time, I don't believe. But we were going to eat our anniversary dinner, and we get a phone call. And this was this young lady's cousin, who was also in our youth group years before. He said, he passed away. And so, blown away, not knowing what to do, we turned the car around. We were heading to Longview. We turned the car around to head back to their house. And the whole way over there, we're like, well, what do we say? We stopped at a good friend's house who's a deacon at the church there. We stopped and talked to them for a minute and prayed with them. And they were going to come later, but we were going to be there before them. And we get there, and both of their families had large families. There's probably 50 people there before we even get there. And we come out, get out of the car, and the mom who had just lost her child, her four-month-old child, comes out and buries her head in my chest. Now, I had known her since she was tiny, tiny, tiny. My parents babysat her mom. Okay, so we have a long history with her family for sure. So she buries her head in my chest, and I have nothing to say. I don't know what to say. And I talk to her husband a little bit, again, fumbling at the right words to say. We stayed there for a few hours that night. Us and probably at 50 or 60 people stayed almost all evening into the late hours even. And as we were leaving, they made a request of us. It was like, hey, tomorrow when y'all get out, Kara was teaching school at the time, says, when y'all get off work tomorrow, can y'all come back over? Absolutely. Their oldest daughter, Miley, and Bonnie are still good buddies, even though they're separated by 500-something miles. They really wanted us to be there, but they really wanted Bonnie to be there to play with Miley and just kind of while all the other stuff was going on. So we come back the next night and do the same thing. It's January. It's kind of chilly. And all evening, there was 40 of us that night probably. We're tossing horseshoes in the front yard by a bonfire. All the men and the ladies are inside. We did that every night for an entire week. Did I ever say magic words during that week? What meant more to them was just the fact that I was out there tossing horseshoes. The ministry of your presence. Just be there. That's what Barnabas did here in the last passage we just read. He was with Paul, and they were teaching. So they stayed with him for a significant amount of time. They were there. You're not ever, let me just say this, many of you already have figured this out. Most of you have figured this out. In times of tragedy, you're not going to have the perfect words to say. Nobody's ever said a couple sentences and the person who just suffered a tragedy said, you know what, you're right, I'm good. That's never happened. But just the presence, being there. I probably had tendonitis tossing so many horseshoes all week. Just that, just be there. The ministry of the presence. I had I stole this last one from a guy when I did a wedding just a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, I guess now. No, just a week ago. He's a minister at a huge church in Dallas, and we were just talking, he said this is what his pastor always tells them that are on staff, is this is the ministry of the presence. Be there. When somebody struggles with something, be there for them. Give them something to imitate. You know what my natural reaction would be to a tragedy in my own life? I want to be left alone. If I'm sick, you know, I know the women give men a hard time. Sometimes men are babies, you know, when they're sick. They need to be coddled and all of those things. When I'm sick, I want you to leave me alone. I want to be by myself. You know, I thought that's not necessarily the healthiest thing. When tragedy strikes, we need people to be there for us. Not to have perfect words. Not to have all the answers. Sometimes it's better if you do keep your mouth shut. But be there for them. Do you know Paul and Barnabas, even though they ministered here together, you know, they had a little bit of a falling out later over Mark. All right, I think y'all talked about that in Sunday school. I think I remember seeing that in there. Barnabas said, hey, we ought to bring old Mark. Paul's like, I don't think so. So they went their separate directions. Did you know later in 2 Timothy, I think it's chapter 4, you know who Paul wants at that point? Mark. Things changed. People grew. Okay. In the end, Paul was a mentor to Mark. In many ways, you can make the case, even though Paul is much more well-known than Barnabas, that Barnabas was the mentor to Paul. So what am I saying this morning when I say be a Barnabas? Sometimes, many times, most often, God calls us to do things that are not in the public eye, that are not in the spotlight. Jump at those opportunities. God knows about those things. Okay. God, if He's called you to do those things, please be faithful and do that. This week, you know somebody, and I know school's out and this is one of the most hectic weeks of the year, or we're just coming off one of the most hectic weeks of the year probably, with the last week of school. But you know somebody that needs something. And you may have zero to offer them except to be there for them. Whatever that means. The video that they showed at CR was literally just somebody sitting in the booth with them at a kind of a diner or something like that. One of the most tragic things, and I think this is more prevalent today than it was even a generation ago, and it shouldn't be this. We call the things on the internet, we call them social media. But they really do more damage socially than they do positive things. We don't know how to talk to each other anymore. We feel like we have this false sense of closeness when I just liked a guy's status because he's been married for 11 years. I haven't seen him since high school. Do I really know that guy anymore? I really don't. Don't, as Christians, do not forget that we need to have personal intimacy with one another. We need to know each other. We need to be there for each other. Because who out there, who outside of these walls is going to be there for you when times get tough? Those of you that didn't grow up in a Christian background, maybe had a rough background in many ways, praise the Lord that God has changed your life. But where are your friends from your old life now that you're trying to live life the right way? Are they still there with you? Or they drop you like a bad habit? We got to count on one another. It's a dangerous thing for a believer to feel like they're alone. We know the easy Jesus answer is, he'll never leave us or forsake us. And that's true. I believe that 100%. But did you know that there's somebody, whatever you're dealing with, there's somebody else in the room this morning, even with some folks out of town, there's some people in this room this morning that know exactly what you're going through. Did you know that? It's the truth. You're lonely? I guarantee you somebody in here knows what it's like to be lonely. You struggle with anxiety? Somebody in here knows what it's like to be anxious. You feel overwhelmed? Well, so does somebody else. Why aren't we so quick to act like everything's okay in a place where everything's supposed to be safe? A lot of it is because we've allowed our flesh to take control instead of being a good man like Barnabas. Why was he a good man again? He was full of the Holy Spirit and faith. That's the type of man we need to be. And it's not exclusive to the men. That's for women, too. You can be full of the Holy Spirit and of faith just as much. Okay? That's what we're here for. For those type of things. I'll say this. For me, I'll speak for myself. I won't speak for anybody else this morning. And I'll be done. You're struggling with something and you don't know who to tell? You can tell me and I promise there'll be no judgment. I can probably even give you references on that. Okay? I won't be condescending. I may tell you what the Bible says about something. You may not like that. But I won't judge you. I won't be mad at you. I won't be hateful towards you. Let's be Barnabas to somebody this week. Be an encouragement. Come alongside them. Be in their presence for them this week. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I don't adequately have the words ever, but today certainly I feel that way. Of how to encourage my brothers and sisters, many of whom do very well at this. I don't discount that at all. There are so many in this room this week that have encouraged me while Kara and the girls have been out of town. Lord, inviting me over, taking me out to eat. God, that means a lot to me. I really do appreciate that. Thank you for each one of them, even the ones that we just couldn't work out the scheduling. So, Lord, I want to thank you for the encouragement I've received from so many here at Highland. Lord, I pray that in my own life that I'll be like Barnabas, that I'll have a giving heart, that I'll give affirmation, that I'll motivate in a positive manner. God, and then also that I'll just have that ministry of the presence, that I'll be there for somebody. Lord, I pray you would stir that up. And who in this church can perform that ministry of the presence? I believe everybody can. I pray you'd put that on our hearts. This morning as we pray, and maybe people have 100 different things on their minds, and I understand that. God, I pray that you would make yourself very real to somebody this morning that may not know you, that may have never put their trust in you fully. God, this morning, maybe there's a Christian brother or sister here that's dealing with the weight of the world on their shoulders when they don't really have to. The Bible says we cast our burdens on you because you care for us. Lord, and also, we're supposed to be here to shoulder the burden for one another. Just like in Acts, when they had all things in common, it said it's not talking about socialism or anything like that. God, it's talking about how we hold each other up. when the world's trying to knock us down. Forgive us as Christians when we've been too quick to shoot our wounded instead of help them up. Lord, and lastly this morning, I pray that I'd be a Barnabas in my life. I really truly believe that some of the greatest blessings in our life happen in the things that we do in the background that nobody ever sees. I pray this week for each one of my brothers and sisters here this morning that we could be a Barnabas for somebody else. Lord, we thank you for loving us. Lord, we thank you for being Jesus to us, and we know what all that means. Thank you for the forgiveness of sins. Thank you for the hope that we have, even when this life ends. Lord, we know that you're coming back. Lord, we know that if we die before then, then heaven's our home for those of us who have put our faith in you. We're thankful for grace this morning. So in Jesus' name we pray.
We'd love for you to join us at Highland Baptist Church in Clovis, New Mexico, Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. Thank you for listening. For more audio sermons, visit us online at highlandclovis.com.